Anthony Flew was considered by many to be the most notorious atheist of the 20th century. He was like the Richard Dawkins or the Christopher Hitchens of his day, and he even debated C.S. Lewis. His maxim was to follow the evidence wherever it leads, and for him, the evidence led to atheism initially. As he peered deeper into the mystery of creation, he eventually began to see what the Book of Wisdom said today, that from the greatness and beauty of created things comes a corresponding perception of the Creator. Yet, the greatness of the Christian faith does not consist in just believing that God exists. It consists in believing that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son so that those who believe in him might have eternal life. It's not a bad thing to help convince people about the existence of God, and sometimes that's a necessary obstacle that needs to be overturned so that people can believe in other truths of the faith. For Anthony Flew, he saw that the new studies in DNA really rattled his atheist convictions, and he says, intelligence must have been involved in getting these extraordinarily diverse elements to work together. So in 2004, he shocked the world by claiming that he believed in God. However, it's not enough for a Christian to acknowledge that God exists. Anthony Flew believed that God existed, but he saw God as an intelligent designer and kind of separated from the world. This idea is known as deism, where we acknowledge that God exists, but he isn't personally involved in our lives. We are not deists. We are Christians who believe that our God so loved us that he could barely stand without being, he couldn't stand being without us, that he sent his Son to cross the boundaries between heaven and earth to take on flesh so that he could lead us back to heaven. Although we might not profess to be deists or atheists, and although we believe in a personal God, we might fall into the same trap that Anthony Flew does by theoretically acknowledging that God exists, but living like practical atheists who acknowledge that God exists, but live as though he doesn't. Jesus is challenging us today in the gospel to engage in a continual conversion, which is essentially a process of continual abandonment of the person. Jesus desires not just 50%, not just 75%, and not even just 99.999. He wants 100% of us. Because we cannot enter the kingdom of God in heaven until the reign of God is completely present in our hearts. The psalmist writes, who shall climb the mountain of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? The man with clean hands and pure heart, who desires not worthless things. So if we want to go up to the heavenly Jerusalem, we must purify our hearts of worthless desires and abandon everything to God. The early Christians truly distinguished themselves from the other people in their communities by completely abandoning themselves to God. And there's this letter, it's called the Letter to Diognetus, and this outside observer describes how these Christians lived in the second century. He says, Christians do not inhabit separate cities of their own, or speak a strange dialect, or follow some outlandish way of life. And yet, there is something extraordinary about their lives. They live in their own countries as though they were only passing through. Any country can be their homeland, but for them, their homeland, wherever it is a foreign country. They live in the flesh, but they are not governed by the desires of the flesh. Obedient to the laws, they live on a level that transcends the law. Christians love all men, but all men persecute them. They live in poverty, but they enrich many. They are totally destitute, but possess an abundance of everything. These Christians modeled what Jesus was saying in the gospel today. Those who keep their life will lose it. Those who lose their life for my sake will find it. That is, If you seek to maintain and strive for your earthly life by your own powers, you will lose it. But if you lose yourself through a gift of self to me, through a complete abandonment, you will find the fullness of life that you had been seeking for all along. So the question remains for us. If the federal government had sent a spy to observe our life, would they know just by observation that I am Catholic to the bone, that I live like a citizen of heaven, having completely abandoned everything to God in every aspect of my life? Or would they see that I live like a practical atheist, like the rest of the world, eating, drinking, buying and selling, like in Noah's and Lot's days, without the thought of conversion? The greatness of the Christian faith does not just consist in the belief that God exists. It consists in the fundamental truth that Jesus wants to unite every aspect of our lives with him, now on earth, because that is what heaven will be like. But this is a union in love, and the choice is up to us.